Welcome to The Soap Dish. I am Deanna Wallen, and The Soap Dish is sponsored by Naples Soap Company. We are an omni-channel retailer all throughout the state of Florida. We have, I don't know, Casey, how many stores do we have now?
We have 14?
Nine open,
14.
Four under construction. Yeah.
I mean, on the horizon.
Oh, boy. We've got a lot going on.
Me too.
My gosh. I've got Casey and Ian. Hi.
Hello.
How you guys doing? Nice
doing
to
good.
See you. Did I tell you radio show is my favorite day? Didn't we say that on the way up here, Casey?
Absolutely.
No,
my favorite day, too. How can it not be?
How can it not be? That's right. Now, we have a great time here. We have a special guest with us. We're actually doing a two-part mental health and wellness series, and I have one of my absolute favorite people with me here today. So we're going to do a two-part series, and Nicole Smith is with us from Naples Evolve. Nicole, hi.
Hello.
Welcome.
I am so glad to be here.
I haven't seen you forever.
And it's been too long. I think I've had two kids since I've seen you.
You have had two kids and you got married and had two children. And I have been following you because I'm always a fan on social, because, you know, where would we be without our social connections on social media? But I have watched your journey and I am so proud of where you are. And I'm delighted to have you on for us to do this two-part series today. Explain to me, because you're going to do a better job than I am. Talk to me about Naples Evolve and who you are and what it is that you actually do.
Sure. So I am a master's in social work. And I went into Naples Evolve originally being Evolve Mental Health and Wellness. And I realized that I do not like being a mental health therapist. It was too closed for me. It wasn't fluid. I couldn't practice how I wanted, when I wanted. I couldn't really be there in an intimate way for my clients, like I felt like they needed.
So feeling like the typical therapist situation was too restraining.
Yeah, it was very in the box. You know, I wouldn't be speaking to my clients between sessions. And if somebody's child went to my school, that's not something where you would be able to work with that person. Mm-hmm. So now I can work with anybody, anywhere, anytime.
As a coach. Okay.
And a former therapist.
Okay. You've got the creds, but you're doing it a slightly different way, but in a little, I love the modern approach to this, you know, because everyone's so busy and we have these crazy lives now and, you know, not everything fits into this typical, I mean, people are doing therapy online from, virtual. There's a ton of, therapists and therapy websites out there that you pick someone and they assign it to you and you don't even know this person.
Yeah.
You know, it's very, to me, that's very impersonal.
It is. And I do see clients virtually, but I also see clients for walks in the park, for coffee, for at their homes, anywhere.
Real quick, if you want to know about Nicole, your website is
www.naplesevolve.com.
There you go. You can go look Nicole up and see about her while we're doing this two-part series. And Nicole has a phenomenal story. And I wanted to take the first part of this segment because we're going to do two pieces of this. First, I want to talk about like kind of what we've been through. COVID, for our local audiences, from the pandemic through this horrific hurricane, and the recovery efforts that we have, and just how, as a community, we've been pretty banged up. And I see a lot of communities that go through some type of crisis or another. I mean, God, we have these horrible school shootings and things like, we just, every time you look, there's some community under attack.
Yeah, in it's one way, thing after another.
Whether it's natural disaster, I mean, we all experienced the pandemic, but it seems like now when we add another element of an attack on a community, that it just kind of creates a mushroom cloud of stress and anxiety in that community. So we have that perfect storm, that mushroom cloud of stress and anxiety.
Absolutely.
in our Southwest Florida. So that's going to be the first part of our segment. And I'm going to have ask you to share a few personal things, which are like just heart-wrenching to me as we all watched it. But the second part of our series, which will be next week, will be about mental hygiene. Like, what are healthy habits that we can do? Like, how can we cope better? What can we do to help ourselves? What can we do to reduce anxiety? What can we do to reduce stress? You know, like, because we throwing our hands up in the air is not the answer.
No.
There has to be a practice or maybe it starts with an acknowledgement that, hey, I'm way underwater here.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the first part of it, is saying, you know, I need help here. I can't do this by myself.
Yeah. And I think that's the hardest part for people, is like asking for help, like paddling. I know Casey's the worst at this, by the way.
I think it's called pride, maybe.
Is it pride?
That might be it.
Stubborn. After the hurricane, I was stubborn. Like, what do you need? She's like, nothing, I'm good. I'm like, no, you're not. And I can see you.
I'm
you're
not
like
flailing,
a color,
I'm good.
You're a color that doesn't occur in nature, okay? I can see that.
I know that color. I've been that color myself.
She's right. Been that color, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things, is that, you know, how do we cope? How do we get to that point where it, you know, we take the stigma out of asking for help, and it's not a sign of weakness. Didn't I send that to you? I texted that to you recently.
You did. You emailed me. Self-care is not a sign of weakness.
There you go.
Oh, I love that.
It's not.
I literally had to force her to take a day off. She's like, but, what if you need lunch? I'm like, seriously? What?
That did happen. That's okay.
That actually did happen. That's a yeah. True story. So so Nicole and I, we've worked together in a professional capacity, and I'm really happy that I know her in that capacity. She was a wonderful employee and advocate and fan at Naples Soap Company with us for quite a while. And then she got married and married the man of her dreams and had two beautiful babies, a boy and a girl. And I watched them grow. I can't believe how much they've grown.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They're crazy.
But Nicole is that very real mom on social. Not like, look at all her pictures. Isn't everything great? She's like, oh, my God, my kid just snorted ravioli.
Absolutely. Like,
you know, I'm like, okay. It's not everything all romantic.
Yeah, our house
seems.
Is crazy. And anybody who knows us knows that, you know, we enjoy it.
Yes. Yeah, I can tell. And I love how that you have really taken the opportunity to reinvent yourself as not just a professional, but that's very hard to do when you are in a new role as a mother, as a wife first, and then a mother right shortly thereafter, and then a new career. And so I always have the utmost respect for you, Nicole. And I'm if you didn't notice, I'm so happy that I'm here. I'm like cheesing over Nicole.
Oh, no, you.
I'm cheesing over Nicole.
We're fangirling. That's what we are.
You're what?
We're fangirling.
I'm fangirling.
You are my favorite female entrepreneur.
Oh, my God.
And
keep going.
Working for you was one of the best times of my life. I learned so much.
Oh, boy.
So much.
We can write the book on what not to do.
Yeah, it was an inspiration. You were such an inspiration.
Tell Casey.
I was telling.
Get it.
Telling Deanna before we got started, you know, with all the hurricanes that come, they knock over the stores and she just builds them right back up.
That's right. That's right.
Like, but okay. Here's the thing. Everyone's like, oh my God, how did you do it? And I said, seriously, the only way out is through.
Yes. I say that all the time.
You don't get to stop. And honestly, I learned this when I watched you with what your family went through. And we've only got a couple minutes left in this segment. So I'm going to save the next segment after we come back from break. We're going to talk about Nicole's probably one of the worst ultimate stresses you ever had in your entire life through COVID. And if you don't think this girl knows a thing or two about stress, I mean, I was in tears watching her story. I was shredded watching your story. I was inspired watching your story. I mean, and when we get back, I want you to share. And I'm so grateful that you're going to share this very personal journey with us. But man, it was... this is something else. So you definitely got to want to stay tuned with us to come back after the break. But it's a story. So I don't want to start it. We've just got a few minutes left in this before we take a break. But so as a community here, we have had, I was mentioning before, Casey lost her house. Right. You know, she had 4 or 5 feet of water in there. She's just now getting resettled. As a community, I see... even down to the stress and anxiety that we are experiencing as a community is off the charts.
Absolutely. It's really the worst that I've ever seen.
One perfect example of this is, I don't mean to be, because it's Southwest Florida, it's Florida. I don't mean to be bitching about the traffic, but I actually witnessed a road rage incident 2 days ago and it rattled me to the core. I actually watched a guy run another guy off the road, was flicking him off out the door. And this was on Three Oaks, which is a very, like, fairly tame road. It's not like it's
a good word. It's tame.
It's a tame road.
It is a tame road.
He swerved in front, is this Honda Civic, he swerves in front of a Mercedes, and whoever you are in the Mercedes, I hope you're okay and that you didn't get taken captive. If you're listening to this, I love you. My heart goes out to you, but I'm a little nervous because you took off after the guy. Swings around in front of this car. The Civic hits his brakes. The Mercedes hits the Civic. So the guy brake checks him. And then he takes off, and the Mercedes takes off after him. And I'm like, I knew it was going to happen, and I'm watching all this go on literally just feet from my car. And I'm beside myself, and I'm like, what is happening? And then you see on the news all this, you know, I want to actually thank the local news for giving us the debris report. Seriously, this is a real thing because it's I don't mean to keep talking about traffic in the stress, but
the traffic is unreal. The majority of my friends live in New York, and I talk to them and I tell them, and they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, no, don't understand. This is not how it is.
Okay. It's like Super Mario. You're driving down the road and there's a ladder in the middle of the road. And exactly, I have like seen that. Three ladders in the middle of the road in the last, I don't know, guys, can we tie our ladders down? Something? Can you like
a couple days ago, someone's shovel went right through the windshield.
Mm-mm.
That's a daily anxiety. What you got?
So
I'm good at driving chutes and ladders. I don't know.
I was thinking.
Didn't
Frogger.
You drive an ambulance for a long
time?
Yeah,
a little while. Fire trucks and stuff.
Yeah. Fire trucks. Yeah. No.
The ladders and the chutes and ladders, you get there quicker.
Exactly. Yeah. I was talking to someone. They were telling me that someone ran over a couch, ran into a couch on I-75 the other day. A whole couch. So the sofa fell off the back. Somebody ran into it because there was cars on the side and they didn't want to hit the car, so they hit the couch. I mean,
it's real anxiety. It's real.
This is dumb stuff.
Yeah. Oh, and don't forget the fires. It's fire season.
Exactly. Yeah, no,
and what people don't realize about the fires, and take it from somebody that's retired from the fire service, this is something a lot of people in Southwest Florida don't realize. All the debris that was knocked out of the trees and all the fallen trees and all the branches and all that stuff has had 6 months to dry. And it's now kindling everywhere out there.
And we've had like super low rain.
I think it was 41 days or something. I heard. Yeah.
Crazy.
So, all it's going to take is a few days with really high winds and low humidity, and we could have.
Don't you put that evil on us.
Yeah. Well, let's hope it doesn't happen.
Don't you put that evil on us.
Let's not hope in people the universe. Know what to do. Let's not go out there and start fires.
All right. Let's not get all stressed out, people.
Yeah.
There she is. She's
but that's
checking
what,
us.
That's what we're
don't
talking
don't stress
about.
Out when you're stressing over this stuff.
Yeah. So that's what we're talking about. So when these catastrophes and certain things happen, even COVID, there's always a domino effect. There's an after effect that happens because even when the event is over, and I find this in myself right now as well, like there's a certain level of like PTSD that I'm going through. And so I think this is a great show that we'll talk about. And you want to talk about PTSD. When we get back, we're going to have Nicole share her experience and her family's experience. And I'm going to try not to cry when we do this. So you're listening to Soap Dish. I'm Deanna Wallen. We're sponsored by Naples Soap Company. You can check us out at naplessoap.com. We'll be back right after this.
92.5 Fox News. Right all along.
Hey, Southwest Florida, it's time to treat yourself. And Naples Soap Company is the place to go. From creamy body butters to relaxing bath bombs to muscle-soothing CBD creams, Naples Soap Company has an incredible assortment of skin and hair care that's made in the USA with the highest quality ingredients. You can find Naples Soap Company in downtown Fort Myers, Fisherman's Village, Coconut Point, Tin City, and Fifth Avenue in Naples. Or shop online at naplessoap.com.
92.5 Fox News. Right all along.
Welcome back to The Soap Dish. I'm Deanna Wallen. I am your host. I am the CEO and founder of Naples Soap Company. I've got Casey.
Hello.
My able-bodied assistant who knows all things, and Ian in the booth.
Hey, how you doing?
I have Nicole Smith with me here today from Naples Evolve, and we are going to do a two-part series. We are in the midst of a two-part series. It's our mental health and wellness and hygiene and all these things.
Woohoo!
Yeah. I feel I need
mental
it.
Mental health shout out. Woo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you just come to my office and walk around the warehouse with me?
Anytime.
You do a walk and talk?
I do.
Yeah. And then when I'm busy, I'll be like, Casey, can you do my walk and talk with Nicole? She knows all things Deanna. I'd be like, here's the three problems I need you to go talk to Nicole about, please.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
I'm in.
Oh, great.
I'll put it on the calendar.
Yeah. So, in all seriousness, Nicole knows a thing or two about stress, and I was hoping that you would be open to share your experience, your COVID experience with your family. Would you mind telling us that story?
It would be an honor. One of the reasons that I went into coaching was because I can share my experience, and I feel like it does help a lot of people. And it was such a period of growth for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was before I started Evolve, probably part of the reason I did. So at the time, my children were 1 and 3, and we were all home, all of us, right? We were all on quarantine. We were watching Crocodile or whatever that guy is on the – what is he? It doesn't matter.
Crocodile Hunter? Okay.
No, so we were all watching this. We were staying at home. We were doing house repairs. We were actually having the time of our life because mm-hmm. my husband works a lot. Mm-hmm. And so now we're getting to spend time together as a family. And right. the kids were excited, and we were doing pretty good.
You're nesting?
Yeah, we were nesting. And okay. then slowly people started going back to work. And my husband was one of those people. And it didn't take long. It was the Delta variant that mm-hmm. he came home and he said, I don't feel good. I'm going to go to the doctor just in case. So he went to the doctor's office and they told him that he had COVID, but just take these vitamins and, you know, go home and you'll be fine. Everything's fine. My husband didn't want to, you know, risk getting us sick. And so he went to a hotel and he holed up in there for about 7 days with 103.
Ugh.
And you know how men are when they're sick. Right? No. So I wasn't easy. There. I couldn't tell how bad it was. So I would drop off, you know, food and water outside of his door and run away.
Right. And you have children to protect. So both of you as parents are thinking, you know what, we don't want to give this to the kids because they're vulnerable.
Yeah.
So, okay. So
yeah, they're little.
You're leaving provisions for Mike. In the meantime, he's in there not wanting to probably tell you how bad it is, or maybe not even knowing how
I bad think
it was.
He was so sick that he didn't know how sick he was.
Oh, God.
He was just really sick. He was just kind of sleeping around the clock. And finally, I started just, you know, like, this is taking too long. This isn't good. We need to go to the hospital.
And this is when, Nicole? Like,
this was August of 2021.
Of 21.
Yeah.
So this is the Delta variant. So this isn't, like, in the first wave of all of this.
No.
This is, like, you get through the first year. You're like, okay.
Oh, I made it.
Okay.
Right. You're plus
all right.
N, right.
You know what? We're going to be okay. And then this starts. Okay.
Yeah, this starts. And so I wanted him to go to the hospital. And because of seeing on the news and all the things where people are on ventilators, he was terrified. He didn't want to go because he knew it was mm-hmm. pretty bad. And finally, I just wrapped my head up in multiple masks and got in the car with a bunch of Lysol and had all the windows down. I had a big Buick SUV, 3 rows, put him all the way in the back.
Oh, my God.
You know, and drove to the emergency room. And at the time, I mean, the hospital was closed. Like, you couldn't go there. I couldn't go in with him.
So you had to call and make an appointment or
something? No, we just dropped him off, but I couldn't stay.
No guests.
They yeah.
wouldn't allow
him.
Oh, yeah.
So
no,
they just
no
took
visitors.
Him.
So yeah. I watched him walk in, and there was just this weird moment where I stopped the car, and I just watched him walk in, and I just had this just awful feeling. So he called me from the emergency room and he said, there's this guy here. I think he's dying on the floor. Like,
oh my gosh.
It's really bad. And I want to come home. And I said, you can't come home. Like, you have to be there. And he was, you know, at the time the fever was so high. Like, he wasn't thinking
right.
regularly.
He's delirious. Yeah.
I was calling the nurse, talking to her to try to calm him down. And they took him back and it wasn't 24 hours until the doctor called me and said, his pulse is dropping. He's about to go into cardiac arrest. I need your permission to put him on the ventilator.
Oh my gosh.
And I was shocked.
And Mike's how old at this point?
He was 39.
Yeah.
Healthy, never been
yeah.
sick.
In good shape, 39-year-old.
Right. Yeah.
Like, active.
Right.
Not, you know.
Not obese, in good
no,
shape.
No.
And
he didn't have any of those like comorbidities.
No.
No,
absolutely
he was not that candidate.
And so I had promised him that he wasn't going to go on the vent if he went in. And so I said, okay, you can put him on the vent, but I want to tell him. So I FaceTimed him and mm-hmm. I said, listen, they're just going to do this for a little bit. It's just so that they can help you. You know, everything's going to be okay. Don't worry. I'm going to see you in a little bit. And I forgot to say, I love you.
You're going to make, yeah. I'm
and by the time it. I called yeah. back, they were already putting him on the vent.
Ugh.
And I don't even think it had hit me at that point what we were doing.
Because
mm-hmm. it was just such a quick, fast thing. The next few days, were awful. The day after he went on the vent was my daughter's first birthday.
I remember this. And you're in the meantime, you are tracking this with friends and family on social media.
Yes.
Because you had so many people reaching out, you're like, wait a minute.
That was the most amazing part.
I'm overwhelmed trying to manage the individual, so please follow here. Like,
yes,
the individual contact, because you want to keep the lines open for the hospitals,
yeah,
to come in, you know, to if there's a call coming in. So you want to keep your lines open. But I couldn't, I mean, we were glued and riveted to the updates that you were providing. And then the baby's birthday happens, and it's like all this stuff is going on at once in your life. So again, when I say Nicole knows a thing or two about stress, she knows a thing or two about stress. Okay. So, yeah. So he's on the vent.
So he is on the vent. You're absolutely right. I started posting on Facebook. Friends and family would call, and I'd be on the phone with the doctor, and then it would,
and
you know,
beeping in. Yes,
yes. And I couldn't hear, and I'd be waiting for that call,
right,
all day. And so I went to Facebook, and that's how I would communicate with everybody.
Which was so smart. I was like, yeah, just keep her phone lines clear. You know?
It was unbelievable, the outpouring of love.
I would read the comments.
It was insane. I had people that I've met through different avenues and different places, just sending the baby's presents.
Aww.
And I had one friend who brought over, she paid some guy to bring a dinosaur balloon behind our house, scared me half to death. But I mean, all these people doing all these special things for our family. One of our friends set up this meal thing where somebody would bring a meal to
us
every
that.
Night.
Yeah.
It was,
I mean, how are you keep trying to keep yourself together. You're trying to deal with the doctors. Your husband's on a ventilator. Plus you have two toddlers at
yeah.
home. And you still have the surrounding such stressful
yeah.
situation going on of, you know what, are my kids going to get it? Am I going to get it? Like, are both parents going to? I mean, there's so many. I can't even imagine the plethora of like insecurity and questions that's going on in your mind during this time.
Well, I kept trying to think positive. A friend of mine told me that what we focus on grows. And that
I'm a big believer
yeah,
in that.
Yeah. And that if I'm sending positive energy to him, then
yep.
I'm helping him.
Do
but
not,
if I'm sending negative energy,
don't manifest.
I'm hurting
negative.
Him, but I'm also hurting my kids because they can feel it.
Exactly. I'm
and
a
that
big believer in that energy.
That switched everything over.
Yep.
And from that point on, I was really positive. The doctors a couple times, because I couldn't go in, would tell me that he wasn't gonna make it.
Ugh.
And I would be like, no, he is, you know, they
good
were talking about tracheotomies and just like all of this different stuff. And he, after about 2 weeks and a few failed attempts of trying to take him off of the ventilator, they finally got him off.
And so he was on the vent for how long?
Two weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
The longest 2 weeks of my life.
I can't imagine the minutes.
I was like, I have a hard time believing it was 2 weeks, because Nicole, it seemed like it was like he was on the vent for like 3 months.
I know.
Honestly.
It felt that
like
way.
Every day, those posts seemed like they were, each post was three days long, you know?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And I look back at those now, because they come back, you know,
right,
from my
memories.
And it's, you would think that I had some kind of medical degree, because I'm posting this stuff that now I'm looking back and going, how did anybody know what I was talking about? But everyone followed it so closely. And I had people that worked in the hospital would like sneak up, you know, and go check on him for me. Mm-hmm. The nurses gave me an iPad, and I would just, he couldn't see me, but I would just talk to him, and the kids would talk to him.
I saw that. Yes. So Nicole, they just set an iPad up, and Nicole's just talking to Mike while he's on the vent.
Yeah.
And I'm literally bawling in tears. And she's like, well, you know, he can hear us, you know, maybe he can hear us. And the kids are on there. And I thought that was amazing that
Deanna, when he woke
that.
Up, I thought this was going to be like the greatest love story of all time. And I said to him, I said, did you hear me reading to you and saying all these beautiful things?
Let's see if Mike's listening to this.
And he says to me, I had this dream, this nightmare that lasted the whole time, and you were trying to kill me.
Oh no!
Get out. That is true love, though, that
so
he can
mad.
Say that.
Get out.
I was so mad and disappointed.
I mean, oh my God, you just shattered everything. All my illusions about this whole thing, because all of your posts were so loving. Everything was so supportive. Mike's dreaming that you're trying to kill him the
yeah.
whole time.
Yeah.
It's funny, because my dad was, he was on a ventilator when he had a heart attack and he got septic. And he said that he was having a dream that he was fighting demons, but he knew that I was going to come and get him. And I was like, okay, well, I did.
At least you got to be the heroine.
Somewhere in there, never in my father's life. But yeah, so it's really amazing like what our mind does to us during that time.
Yeah.
But guess what? You those memories will come back of you reading to him. Oh my God. No.
That was a huge part of his recovery, though. You know that. You and your kids being that.
Well, dropping off pictures of the kids and cards and donuts at the hospital every other day. I was like, you need to know who this is. Please help him. He has a family. And they were amazing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just the comments and everything. So, guess, you know, you think that she's not an expert in stress? Walk in those shoes.
I can't imagine getting.
Walk in those shoes. Little and toddlers, and you have this beautiful family, and all of a sudden, within 72 hours, your whole life changes, and you have the greatest uncertainty of your life. Are you going to end up, you know, as a widow with these tiny children? How do you provide for yourself? Like, there's so many things that just off the charts stress. So the reason I like sharing this is that I love when people take something that happens to them like this and they use it as a catalyst to help others in their lives. And that's why I think Naples Evolve is fantastic. And I'm so proud of you. And I want to share that with everybody today. So if you need, feel like you want to raise your hand and need some assistance, Nicole, how can they reach you?
They can go to the website, www.naplesevolve.com.
Is there a phone number?
Give me a phone call, 239-946-4668.
All right, cool.
Or they can even text me. You know, if you're a little nervous and scared, same phone number. You can just shoot me a text message.
Okay, let's do the phone number one more time, a little slower in case. All right, get a pen ready, everybody.
239-946-4668.
Raise your hand. Listen, I'm on the struggle bus. I'm with you guys. I will admit it. There's been a lot to deal with and a lot to cope with. So we're going to take a quick break. Nicole, this is just such an amazing and inspirational story. So we want to talk about some things in the community and a few other things when we get back. So stay with us. I'm Deanna Wallant. You're listening to The Soap Dish. We'll be back right after this.
92.5 Fox News. Right all along.
At Cape Coral Closets.